Lessons from the lathe. It is a wonderful pleasure to bring lessons from the lathe to Guilford, New York, to the BMP program here at Camp Masar in our inaugural shiur this evening. What a great way to start with a vort from Parsha Shlach, for those that listen consistently, my mother and my uncle. So you'll notice that this is the second Shlach. I did it last week, so we're doing it again because here in the United States of America and all of Chutz Laretz, this is what they decided to do. Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, always doesn't have to catch up with America, but in a few weeks Matos Masei will be back. So this is another thought on Parsha Shlach. The idea for this evening is taking our mitzvahs seriously and doing them with the great fervor that they should be done in. So, in this week's parasha, Parsha Shlach, again, this is difficult for me to say because I feel like it's not this week's parasha for me, but okay. I'll have to come to shul again and listen to it. So, first of all, I want to dedicate the shiur L'Zecha Nishmas, my grandmother, Fegeras, with Kolman Kalman, whose yurtzeit was last night. I had the great zechus of celebrating my parents' 50th anniversary. They should be zeicha to many, many more happy years together. And there my son, Yaakov, did a siyum, Masachas Chagiga's fifth siyum in this year, in the amazing yeshiva that he's in, Tzvei Yericho. Give them a lot of credit. So he did a siyum, which is what an ultimate melech yosher for my grandmother. It's just a wonderful, wonderful person and great role model. So, something I never thought of in looking through the parsha, I'll be honest with you. I read the parsha already. And in going through it, this very interesting idea, which I just never thought of, I thought it was very, very interesting. I saw written in the hundreds and hundreds of Torah pamphlets that come out in Eretz Yisrael. All you guys are from yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, so you know exactly what I'm talking about here. These things come out. And I thought this idea particularly was quite interesting. And it goes like this. This was written by someone. I would say I'm stealing his idea, but I'm not. He put an idea in my head, and I wanted to develop the idea based on what I thought, not really what he wrote here. Every week they write in the beautiful. It's one of my favorites, but in Shabbat b'Shabbato. So for the first time, I was able to bring my father. But my father loves these parsha sheets. So I was able to bring him the parsha sheets already. Usually I bring it to him. They're like 6 months ago, the parshas. And I brought it to him. They said, not only is it current, it's mamish for this week's parsha, because we read it already. So there, Muchedet, which is, you know, one of the kupot in Eretz Yisrael medical clinics that we go to. So they sponsor every week. So this is written by Yosef Eitan from Machon Pua. Some halachic inyan usually in refuah. So he was just discussing the two mitzvahs in the parsha after the sin of the spies. So there's the mitzvah of challah and the mitzvah of tzitzis. Very interesting. So I never thought of it this way, but he couples them together. And it's interesting in the middle of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, but here he develops the idea of what these two mitzvahs are. So of course we know that we'll start with our mitzvah, with the mitzvah of tzitzis. So there's a great deal of talk about, well, why do I have to wear tzitzis? The typical Shana Aleph question, like, I'm not, you know, I learned enough now that I could be a posek, and I know according to halacha, so you don't really have to wear tzitzis because we don't have dalakamfas begadim. And here in Camp Masora, I'm sure there'll be one or two campers who will tell you that there's obviously a heter to play basketball. You don't have to wear tzitzis. Everybody knows that. Before his Mishnah Berurah, no, it isn't, and that's what they feel. It's hot. It's this, that. Everybody knows it anyway, Rabbi. You don't have to wear tzitzis, and this is not an incorrect statement. Gemara Menachah says, we're very, very fortunate. We've accepted this mitzvah, L'dori Doros. And it's a wonderful thing that we accepted this. We know that we don't have to do it, because we're not living in Mexico, where they're going to build a very, very large wall, but they wear ponchos there, and some of those ponchos have dalakampos. So once in a while, you see somebody wears there actually was, I think if I'm not mistaken, the director of this camp, one Purim, came dressed as a Sefer Torah. And his outfit had, you know, this large, almost like a smock, and it said on it, Ketel Torah. And as a joke, he went to the rabbi, Rabbi Soloski, and he said to him, is this Chayv and Tzitzis? Next week's Parsha, right? Parsha's Korach, he asked him, Shakula. So he says, yeah, actually, that beged, I think, is Chayv and Tzitzis, because it was actually an actual four-cornered garment. It looked like a pair of huge Tzitzis, like, you know, Rosh Steinberg used to wear these very, very large Tzitzis. That's what it looked like. It'd probably be chayav tzitzis. The question is what kind of beggar is it? If it's just being done for a joke, that's not the shot. So you have the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis is unique in that, again, it's a mitzvah that is questionable in the sense of, according to the technicality of halacha, you really do not have to wear tzitzis. And then he says, we move to challah. Challah, of course, is the famous women's mitzvah. My son had a bechina. My son Aaron had a bechina last week, his last one before he left school early. And he said, so in the bechina, he had this exact question: what are the women's mitzvahs? So he said that women have, this is the Gemara, test was on the Gemara in Brachos, women have three mitzvahs that are miyucha to them, right? And you could, easy way to remember it, I didn't make this up, I'll tell you why in a moment, is chana. Chala, nida, hadlakas neiros. That's not just a cute thing. We had a girl when I was teaching in a girl's seminary, Machon Maya. There was a girl, her name was Kayla, and Kayla was an amazing, amazing story. Kayla was a wonderful, wonderful person who became frum through NCSY. And she became frum before NCSY, and it was a wonderful, great thing. And she was over the house all the time, Shabbos and so on. And then she confided in the rabbi and Rebbetzin that were making her firm. She's now living quite a firm life, that she had a lot of difficulty in the house because her parents were very, very against her decision to become firm, especially her mother, who's Christian. And the rabbi said, come again? So it turned out that her father was Jewish, but her mother was not. And that, of course, started a process of conversion. So she came to Machon Mayan to learn more Torah, although she was probably one of the frumest girls that were there. It was a very, very long process that she went through. Unfortunately, the Beis Din in the pace that she lived made her go through hoops and loops, and there was a wonderful, wonderful person, I guess I could say his name publicly because he did a wonderful job, Rabbi Dov Lipman, was involved in it. I was a little bit involved myself, but he went into the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, and there was an amazing meeting there. The Beis Din of Yerushalayim, the secretary took the case, and he said, I'll bring it over to the basin. For some reason, the way that it works is like we're sitting in this room now talking, and the next room is where the basin sits. And he picked up a phone and he says, we have a girl here who technically is not Jewish but is more firm than any of us, right? She knew everything. He's asking her, trying to stump her on all these questions, and he's like, give me five books of the Navi. She's like, what do you mean five? I can give you all 24 books of the Navi. And it just starts going on, and she was a wonderful person. Anyway, when she went to finally, which is amazing, as fortuitous as it was, the Beis Din gave her the rights for Geirus was on Erev Shavuos. That's when she went. Reminds me of Rus. So she thought maybe her name should be Rus, but she wanted to change her name. So she went to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who was still alive then, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu looked at her like almost she was crazy and said, Chana, obviously. And she didn't know what the obvious was. She didn't understand Hebrew so well. And what was the reason? And he said, Chana is the mitzvah of women. Chala, nida, and halakas neiros. So when it comes to the mitzvah of chala, so we know that there, well, you maybe don't know, but there are very distinct halachas, exactly how much flour to use to actually take the mitzvah of chala. Now, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I've been in a few homes, in a few yeshivas where this happened. Sometimes my kids do this, where we have this machlokes hapoiskim, right? If you ever traveled on a plane, some of you had to get here by a plane. So this just happened to me on Aeroflot. They took Aeroflot, unfortunately. So their meals are basically not edible, but they have one thing that my kids liked was rolls. So of course, what does the roll say on it? Mizonos rolls. So I, of course, this is fake. This is a misnomer. There's no such thing. We'll discuss that in another halachic shir. But anyway, let's that's not the point. Sometimes the kids will be like, oh, do I have to wash on pizza? If I do, then I'm not going to have pizza. There's a threat. So bachala, so also you have women who say, oh, I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to do it. So he claims that in this article, and I think that that's not so true. I think that more, right? You know, women, I don't think, are running out and buying challahs at the local bakery because they don't want to take mitzvah challah. It's because they don't want to bake challahs. It's not such a big deal to do the mitzvah challah. Men do not wear tefillin. They don't be chayv and say it's difficult. That may be more true. So he brings here the point of this whole statement is the Rambam says in Hilchot Tzitzis, Gimel Yud Bes, Li'olim Yishtadil Adam Li'ayis Atuf, B'ksush HaChiyot B'Tzitzis, Shishim Mechayv himself. Especially when we're wearing a talis gadol. But a person should be very, very careful to wear tzitzis and to make himself chayiv, as we have done already. And the same thing, very interesting enough, the Rambam writes as well, and then it says in Bikurim, tells us Asur LaAdam LaAsois Asias Pachos, right? Mushir Shushan be Mechayim himself the same type of way. So he thought that these two mitzvos are similar in that regard, in that they are mitzvos that a person sometimes wants to get away from, which is of course something that we don't want. And we know this great the Gemara Menachos tells a famous story, of course, about the person who was going to different places of ill repute, and he found this harlot, and he goes very, very far, and the tzitzis hits him in the face. You know the whole story. So we see the protection of tzitzis. He quotes the Midrash, Rabbi Elazar, who says, "Bezchus tzitzis nitzol chanim rishol yazari v'tikivshon eish." Tzitzis was something that is very, very special. But the yisod that I wanted to develop is that. So why are these two mitzvahs after chetam araglim? Right, so he doesn't discuss that, but I thought that was really what we should be asking here. Why those toast mitzvahs? Why were they chosen? They were chosen for a reason. The chet hamarakim, the chet is that they had a jaundiced eye. They came into it with a preconceived notion. This will not be good for us. Whether it's a lumdish reason because they knew that they would no longer be the Nesiim, but betachlis, the isser that was over here was that they just wanted to do their own thing, what was good for them. Mitzvahs are not being done because it's good for you to do mitzvahs. A mitzvah is a way to get closer to Hashem, and the way that we show Hashem that we're really interested is we do it when we don't even really technically have to do it. But that's not the point. Right? It's not about, yeah, you're right. One day you'll go into the business world, you'll find yourself on a business trip, and you'll learn the halacha, and you'll know that halachically I don't really have to go to Minyan today. Why? Because closest Minyan is quite far away, right? It's, you know, more than 18 minutes away. So you're not doing a minyan, you're right. But that's when you get the schus. That's your tzitzis. That's your challah. That's when you say to yourself, and that's the lesson here. We're giving you these two mitzvahs, right? In Hashem and in for wisdom. So one day tzitzis is not going to be something that's so, you know, and now it's going to be the summer. It's going to be schwitzy like anything. Tzitzis, I don't know. Says no, and that's just, I want to do it. I know I'm not chayav, okay, I know, but I want to do it. I know the minyan is far away. I know. I'm technically I'm putter because I'm oisik with another mitzvah, or I'm technically putter because the minyan is very, very far away, or I'm technically putter because I'm sick. You know, and every Shon Aleph guy, you know, I'm sick. I'm sick. You know, I'll stop it. So, that's the yisod. That's the lesson that we know we speak about when it comes to the miracle. They didn't learn from the lesson of Miriam. The same type of thing. She had a preconceived notion. How can it be? I'm also Nevi'ah. Moshe's better than I am. You got to do Lifnim Mishiras Hadin. That's the yisod here. Now, you all know that because you've decided to do something with your summer, which is amazing. And some of you, I'm sure, could look at last year and say, wow, I never thought I would be here. You've decided to choose for yourself a path which is remarkable. A path saying, you know, I want to dedicate myself to the learning of Torah in the summer. I'll be very honest with you. I think it's crazy. You know, I ran home, I shone off, I figured out what am I have to do something, I have to be involved, I have to work, I have to make money. And many of the people that are not here today, you know, that told me no. Rebbe, I mean, you have to understand, you know how much money I can make as a golf caddy, one guy told me. Okay, good. That's not helping you to shumma so much. Technically, you're putter. This is, of course, the lesson of Talmud Torah as well. Sometimes you'll be technically putter from learning Torah. For whatever the reason. Let's say, God forbid, you find yourself, you know, not God forbid, I didn't mean it that way. It sounds that way. This way I'm feeling now, being with my kids for the last week. But, and you're putter. I'm driving the kids, and this, we have 3.5 hours here. So we got to learn Torah. I don't have to sit and learn with you now. Just say, okay, it's over. Myra, Vishkoyach, that's it. Let's go. Good night. No! You always got to learn. You always got to do. You got to push yourself. Technically, I'm not. Technically, it's not the point. The Navi says, "Mitzvahs are nashim l'modim." One of the klavos that we get is that when we do mitzvahs out of rote, we just do the mitzvahs because this is not the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are about doing them because I want to do them, and sometimes it's hard to do, and sometimes I don't want to do it. I'm doing it anyway. That's the schus the Rabbanu Shalom gets. The Rabbanu Shalom gives us such schus when we do it. We say, "Wow, look how that guy did that mitzvah." It wasn't easy for him, and he did it anyway. Right? It's Schwitzy McSchwitzy outside. And he's putting on tzitzis. Right? Could be a woman doesn't need to make challahs for Shabbos. She wants to do it to get the mitzvah to do it. That's something that we have to take with ourselves, our whole lives. But especially to work on this summer, Dafka, we should be zoche that this summer, one of the things that we work on with ourselves, not just developing ourselves, how we learn halacha and how we learn Torah, but who am I as a person? Am I a person who really just does, you know, sometimes, right, you're in the privacy of your own home, nobody's watching. You can do whatever you want. You know, the joke that they say about the, it's a rabbi joke, it's not going to be funny, but they said that if Esrog was a mitzvah that you did on Seder night, and Maror was a mitzvah that you did in Shul, so people would eat Maror lifnim mishur as a din. They would have, oh, look at the Maror I'm eating. You know, the guy's killing himself. And the Esrog would be this little Esrog for 20 shekel, nobody would care. But when it comes outside, I want people to see what my Esrog looks like. Oh, that's a Mishal. Wow. How much was it? Oh, you don't want to know how much this Esrog was. The mitzvahs that come to the outside, right? And the things that we do inside, only the Rabbanu Shalom knows about those. That doesn't have to be as well. Sometimes, specifically last night, I can tell you, Chataz any mask here. So I'm jet lag. I get jet lag. I don't know why. So my jet lag hits me in a very, very beautiful way. Hopefully, I hope the whole summer is like this. Where, you know, in about an hour from now, I'll become so tired, there's no way I can't stay up. My head will hit the pillow and I'll fall asleep beautifully until about 5 o'clock in the morning, and that's it. I can't sleep anymore. It's great. It's great. So last night, I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I do the first to wake up. I don't know if you've ever done this before. You woke up, and I'm like, the heck am I? You know, like, I didn't know where I was in my sister's house. I had no idea where I was. What am I doing in America? I just didn't know what was going on. I finally got my bearings, and I walked myself to sleep, and I really didn't say Kriya Shema. I have this little midug I like to learn before I go to sleep. I didn't do any of that. So I'm tired. Could have gone straight to sleep. And I pushed myself up. I did some of this, you know. And I started, you know, said the Kriya Shema. Tried my best to learn as much as I could. Can't tell you remember what I learned. But that's pushing. That's what the Rabbanu Shalom, that's what it is. Mitzvahs are about getting close to Hashem. The best way to get close to Hashem, when you do the mitzvahs. Again, don't get me wrong. There are times that you just do the mitzvahs, so you have to do the mitzvahs. You're just not feeling it today. But just continue doing the mitzvahs. But doing the mitzvahs, sometimes are tough. That, to me, is such... You know, when a person's sick, he's really sick, and he goes to shul that day, those davenings are my favorite davenings. Because I think the Rabbanu Shalom, not if this guy's an idiot, right? The guy has some disease, and he comes, you know... I just said the reason I was late, I apologize, but the reason why I was late is because I was the only person on the list, apparently, I didn't check my hair for lice. So I have Cheska's lice because I'm from Israel, but Cheska's no hair, so maybe not. But so I went there to check for lice. So I thought, being funny, I go in there and I go, you know, to scare them. But they didn't think it was funny. But when a person is involved, the person is doing. So sometimes you feel like something, you know, but when a person's not really, you know, he's sick, but so he's putter, and then he goes to minyan. That's amazing. You'll have this sometimes in your life, right? Where I was talking to somebody last night, I was so impressed with them. They're a younger person around your age, and he, I think, if I'm not mistaken, never missed a minyan since his bar mitzvah. And he tells me about the minyan. He found now that there's a minyan in Pesach, 11:58, there's a minyan in this one. And he's running. He says, the Rabbi Shalom must look at that. You're right, he came home from a wedding. It didn't work out. So you don't have to know what you're going to do. Now go start going to find a Meyer or something. No. You never know the effect. That's what keeps you. And that's why we have the mitzvah of Challah and Tzitzis. And finally, I think I told you to go, but for you guys, it'll be new. For the YH Torah listeners, if you heard it already, I apologize. Oh yeah, I did tell a few weeks ago as I was telling about the I'm just a tzaddik. So I'll tell it again, only a few weeks ago I told it. I apologize for those listeners, but for these guys, it'll be new to you. And we'll conclude with this. So there's a story about tzaddik, not going to mention his name, and he went on a business trip to tzaddik. He went to Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee does not have many religious Jews, but it has a shul. And one of the things it did is that whenever he went on a business trip, he did spend a lot of time researching where the shul is, obviously equal time where he can get food. And he researched the shul, and the shul turned out to be over 20 minutes away, which we know is putter. But this tzaddik decides that he's going to go anyway. And he wakes up in the morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and strangely enough, it is snowing doesn't snow in Nashville, Tennessee. It is a sign from God, says the tzaddik, that he doesn't have to daven. For minyan, I mean. But the tzaddik decides to get in the car anyway, and he drives, and it's a little bit difficult to drive, but he drives anyway. And the tzaddik, unfortunately, can't find the shul, because the shul is not in a regular shul-look-like building. It's actually in a house, and he's going around and around, and he finally finds himself in the appropriate place, and he walks in a little bit late, to be honest, the tzaddik told me. And he walks in, and everybody starts looking at him. So this tzaddik, figuring as we do when we're self-conscious, did I forget my yarmulke? Was I so tired that I walked out not wearing any pants? You know, what? Why are they looking at me? And the tzaddik reported to me that the reason why they were looking at him is because they only had 9 people. And they were praying and davening that Eliyahu Novi would walk in and be mashlim the minyan for the people who need to say kaddish and just have a minyan. And the tzaddik was mashlim the minyan. They started calling him Eliyahu Novi. He wasn't Eliyahu Novi. He was just a big tzaddik who is your Rebbe on the kolo. And I felt very good about that. And I came there, and unfortunately they're like, oh, you'll come tomorrow. We're also going to have 9 people. Like, no, I'm going back to New York, sorry. But you know, driving home, you felt like $1 million. Sometimes you'll feel that. That's doing the over and above. That's the tzitzis mitzvah. That's doing. I don't have to. I technically don't have to do. You're right. Don't be a technical Jew. That's my point. We should be zeichet to take this message to heart, and emir Hashem, take all these lessons from the lev and have an amazing, amazing summer that's filled with learning and nachas for all of Klal Yisrael.